please open your Bibles. Let's try Hebrews today. Hebrews chapter 5. You kind of fainted off on the Spanish part of that song. ¿Qué pasa? Come on, how many Armijos are here? Garcias, Lujans, Montoya. Debes hablar español, ¿verdad? We'll learn a little Spanish. Notice the white guy in the middle. He kind of just smiled during that part, didn't he? You know that, most of you know that the white guy in the middle is my daughter's husband's cousin, Tommy Walker. And I have to tell you this. My daughter just had my sixth grandchild this week. I never thought at the age of 42 I would have six grandkids. But the glory of the Lord fills this place, and that was filmed. Any of you that are truly Christians know where that was filmed. Pagosa Springs. And you can look at that majesty of creation and say the glory of the Lord fills there, but the glory of the Lord fills this place as well. We want His glory to fill this place as we hear His word, as we do His word. So let's pray to that end and dig into God's word together. Father, here am I. Use me. Use us, Your people, to do Your word, to be Your servant, to do Your will. And by doing that, the world will see Your glory in us as we reflect You. We preach Your word for Christ's glory. Speak through us. Use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all those, as I look out, I know a lot of you have should know Spanish, correct? Right, Mrs. Armijo? Mrs. Bailey was a Sandoval. She speaks Spanish. Vargas? I mean, come on. Let's learn a little Spanish today. Repeat that line from the song. Úsame, Señor. Úsame, Señor. That means use me, O Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. We preach, and we preach Christ, and we preach Christ crucified. That is not popular today. We can preach Christ, but don't exclude preaching anything else that sounds appropriate today or what people want. Why do we preach Christ and Christ crucified? Is because there is no other way. There is no other way that we can be saved, that our sins can be taken care of. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for your sins. He paid. And that is the subject of Hebrews chapter 10, 1 through 18. Why did Christ have to die? Why were the old sacrifices not successful? Why did God establish the old covenant then if it didn't accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish? Or did it accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish? Yes, it did. But did it accomplish your salvation? No. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 10, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Why was the old not successful, the old covenant? Why didn't it accomplish? Because he said it was a shadow. It was a faint reflection, not the realities. And therefore, it could not make us perfect, meaning accomplish the goal, the aim. It couldn't give us access to God. They were only a symbol. Then why did God establish the old covenant? three reasons. We looked at these last week. One was to point to the coming of the one who could give you access to God. Second, to remind the people that the penalty for sin is what? Death. And they were surrounded by the sacrifices year after year, day after day, week after week. Blood, blood, death, death, death. Reminded, death was the penalty for sin. And also to picture the covering, which was only temporary under the old sacrifices, but that one was coming that would be the perfect covering for our sin. And so back to number one, no access to God. Then let's move on. Why did they fail? Because they could not remove sin. Look at verse 2 and 3. If it could, the old, would they not have been stopped being offered? If the sacrifices could accomplish access to God, bring you into the presence of God, really, then why would you have to keep doing them over and over? Check it off your list. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder referring to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away your sin. They could not remove your sin. Could not cleanse your conscience. But really, think about it. Isn't what you need? I mean, you say, well, I need this and I need that. What do you really need? You need your sins removed. That's it. But the old could not do that. You needed your sin removed and you needed the guilt removed. Now, if you are honest, I love it when people say, I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, that means you've been lying to me the whole time. I'm going to be honest with you. Sin and guilt eats us up. The old covenant could not remove sin and guilt. If it could, the sacrifices would have been stopped. If they were really removed, it wouldn't be necessary to keep doing them over and over. The old sacrifices could not only not remove sin, but the conscience behind it all, a reminder that they couldn't. And how often were they reminded? Year after year, week after week, day after day. And even the covering of the sacrifices was temporary. It only lasted until you sinned again. And how long would that be? It was a burden. Think of the burden. It was a disappointing system. Oh, our sins are forgiven. We've sacrificed. Yay! Well, you just sinned again. Uh-oh. Over and over. Say you're sick. That's when I figured you might go, oh, yeah, you're sick. Who's sick here today? Think of you're sick. You ever been sick? And you go to the doctor and you get a prescription. And you get the prescription filled, and you start taking the medicine. If the medicine works, you're happy. And every time you look at that prescription bottle, you're reminded that you're cured. But suppose it doesn't work. And every time you look at that bottle, that prescription bottle, you're reminded that the medicine was ineffective. It really didn't take care of your problem. You're still sick. Oh, the medicine might give you a little relief, but it didn't cure you. You see, if you have to keep taking the medicine, you can't say you're cured. You say, I'm a diabetic. Some of you are diabetics. And I ask you, how's that diabetes going? Oh, I'm cured. Really? You're cured of diabetes. Yes, I take insulin every day. Well, then you're not cured. If you have to keep taking the medicine, you can't say that you're cured. It may give you some relief. It may prolong your life, but you can't say you are cured. And the old sacrifices, the old ceremonies had the same effect. They could not remove the disease. They only gave temporary relief. They were a constant reminder that the sin, the disease, was still there. The sacrifices reminded that you were sick. You were sinners. You were at the mercy of God. And you cannot enter God's presence unless the sin is removed. You have no access to God. So far from removing sin, the tabernacle, the temple, the sacrifices, the feast, all of the old covenant only served to call attention to the disease. You see the difference? It could never, look at verse 2, could not have been offered, for the worshipers would have been cleansed. You may have a different word there than cleansed. The word there is really your conscience. It's the same word that's used. Well, look in chapter 9, verse 9. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They didn't really cleanse you. And then we saw it in chapter 10, verse 2. And then look again at chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full acceptance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And then it's used again in Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 18. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. What is the difference from the old system to the new system? One of the big differences is in Christ you have a clear conscience. What is your conscience? That inner, that innate awareness that something's wrong in your life. Any of you have a conscience? Any of your conscience bothers you sometimes? Can you imagine if you could never get it cleared up? That would eat you alive. It is that sense of guilt because of our sin. And if we're really honest, can we really be honest with you today? Because I've been lying to you the whole other part of the time. Can your conscience be your guide? People say, well, let your conscience be your guide. Well, let's take that in the whole context of the New Testament. You can sear your conscience. Your conscience can be calloused. You can think you're wrong, you're okay and still be wrong, can't you? Can you trust your conscience? Only in Christ. Because you see, in us is Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the heart of Christ. But the conscience still bothers you sometimes, doesn't it? Is there anyone here who'd say, my conscience never bothers me? Well, something's wrong if your conscience doesn't bother you. It's sort of like pain in our bodies. Any of you ever experienced pain? You know, some people you're afraid to ask them how they're doing. They give you a whole organ recital. Oh, my heart, my liver, my kidneys. Let me tell you about my pain. Do you enjoy pain? But aren't you glad you have pain? Pain and your conscience are like warning systems in your body. Something's wrong. Alert, alert, alert. Can you imagine going through life with no pain? You would not know when you burnt your finger. You would not know when you cut your hand. It's a good thing. Now, pain and guilt, neither one are enjoyable, are they? Are you sure? I mean, no one would say, you know, I really enjoy pain. No one would say, I really like to tell everybody about all my pains either. We don't enjoy pain. But pain and guilt serve a good purpose. In the old covenant, you were never free from your pain, your awareness of guilt. It only produced anxiety, tension. You had temporary relief, but you looked at that bottle, that sacrifice, and sin flares up all too quickly again and again and again. I've got wonderful news for you if you're a Christian. Romans 8:1. Now in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Christ died, and in Christ, our sins are forgiven. Forgiven. Wonderful news. But that doesn't mean that you have a freedom to do what you want to do. That doesn't have a reason you don't let God work on your conscience or use your conscience to work on you. But under the old system, there was no freedom, no clear conscience. In fact, if you were under the old covenant, the more faithful you were to God, the more godly person you were, you probably felt guiltier. You were more likely to feel guilt because you were more aware. You were more sensitive of your sin. You were more sensitive to God's holiness and your own failures. Yeah, in a sense, we experience that, don't we? Did you ever think that when you were first a Christian, well, if I just get more godly, if I get closer to God, I won't feel guilt anymore? How's that working for you? Have you found that the more godly, the more holy you get, the closer you get to God, the more guilt you feel? Yes, because in a sense you feel how inadequate I am. The more you learn of God's will, the more I'm not doing. But what's the difference then? As David said in Psalm 51:3, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Have you got to the point that you don't sin anymore? Have you got to the point that you don't feel guilt for your sin? That's a dangerous place to be. When I was in high school, the pastor at our church was not my father. And I remember a bunch of us smart aleck Christian teenagers ask him this question. "Hey, preacher, what sins do you commit? What sins do you struggle with? Help us out here. You've been a Christian a long time." And this was his answer. I feel like I've really gotten to the point that I don't sin anymore. Uh-oh. As Christians, we feel guilt. The Holy Spirit works on us through the Word of God. But what do you do with it? As Christians, we still are aware of our sin. We are conscious of our sin. We want to be what God wants, and I'm not. But the difference is, in Christ, there's relief. There is relief. As 1 John, we are cured. Actually, look over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John 1:8. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive" who? "And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The old covenant could never do that. Could never purify it. It just put it off. "If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin continually. But if anyone does sin," which we do, "we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice, the covering for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is our high priest. He paid for our sin. And as a Christian, can you have a clear conscience? In Christ, yes, you can. Proverbs 28, verse 13. "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and removes them finds mercy. As a Christian, you have any sin in your life? What are you doing with it? Well, I just feel guilty all the time. Well, knock it off. Stop sinning. Change. Confess it to Christ. And your slate's clean. But if you wallow in, we tend to like to wallow in our, my sin. Well, stop it. You're going to deal with sin the rest of your life on earth. You're in the flesh, and the flesh is fighting you. But what do you do with it? We like to one-up one another. Oh, Ted, I feel so guilty. Ted says, well, let me tell you how guilty I feel. Well, I feel guiltier than you. Stop it! Do we really believe Christ died once and for all and clears our conscience as well? That doesn't mean we keep on sinning. We stop it. Quit walking in it. Because we know that in Christ our sins are forgiven. And so we are delivered from the judgment of God. Did you catch that? Because Christ and our faith is in Christ, we are delivered from our sin and we are delivered from the consequence, the judgment of our sin. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. The old failed, could not remove sin, gave no access to God. And there's a third reason here. They were only external. And so they were ineffective. The old sacrifices never really got to the heart of the problem. If I take the medicine because I have this disease, it doesn't cure me. It just gives me relief. Am I really cured? No. Does it really get to the problem? The disease? No. If you have a headache, what do? You take some aspirin. You take Advil, Tylenol. Does it really take care of the problem? Or does it mask the problem? I think I'll just smoke all those 500 cigars. Doesn't really get to the problem. That's the old system. It only dealt with the outside. But we know that sin comes from where? The inside. You can clean up the outside. You can go through the motions, but not really deal with the heart. The problem of our sin is internally. It's on the inside, our heart. And the old system had no way of really reaching the inside and changing the person. Notice it says there, it is impossible, verse 4, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sin. Impossible. But in Christ, and Christ in us, if you were under the old system, where you offered goats or bulls or lambs, a symbol, did you ever say, under the old system, I have a relationship with that bull? That bull is in me, and I am in the bull. Well, there's a lot of bull in a lot of us. Maybe not a good example. Of course not. It was only symbolic. There is no way that an animal dying for you can take away your sin. It was symbolic of one who would come, the perfect Lamb of God who would take away your sin. My offense is not against a bull, is it? Or a lamb. I'll kill this lamb and then my sin will be forgiven. And now I have bull in me. Of course not. Ridiculous. Impossible. But Christ died. My faith is in Christ. And I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. Only Jesus Christ could be the perfect sacrifice. He's totally God, totally man. Only the death of Christ can satisfy God, can justify man. And only His death could be the ultimate sacrifice, the only effective sacrifice. Now look at verse 5 and 6. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings. You were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will. It's a quote from Psalm 40. It is important to know this about the old system, the external system. Even the external ceremonies that you went through under the old covenant, the sacrifices, always had an internal element to them. To make your sacrifice acceptable to God, what had to happen? Could you just go through the motions? Here's another lamb, take care of my sin. Could you just go through the motions and it not be acceptable to God? The answer is yes. You say, how's that so? You just went through the motions. You just looked at the symbol, and it had no substance. For the sacrifice under the old system to be acceptable to God, you had to have an honest heart. Your heart had to be into it. Look back at the prophet Amos. Way back. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Amos chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. When you've got it, say, hallelujah. When you don't have it, say, I'm still looking for it. God says, go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin more. Those were places of worship. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering and brag about your free will offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 21. I hate, this is still God speaking. I hate, I despise your religious feast. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-falling stream. Failing stream, did you bring me sacrifices and offering 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? What's the point? I thought God commanded the sacrifices. I thought God instituted the old system. He did. But he got sick of them. You know why? Because they just went through the motions. There had to be a heart. I am sorry about my sin. I trust you, God. They had taken what was meant to be a symbol, to be a substitute for real faith, for real trust in God. And they had used the symbol as a substitute for faith. And so what did they trust in? They trusted in the outward form. And when you do that, think about it. You're using the symbol as a substitute for real faith. You are using the symbol as a form of magic. If I just do the right things, if I just say the right things at the right time, poof, God will do what I want Him to do. God's not in the business of being used as a form of magic. God had instituted the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, but always as a means of expressing obedience to God. As a means of real faith in God, with God. not as a means of using God. Would you like an illustration of that from the Old Testament? You say, yeah, I really would. Okay. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. The story here, the context, is Saul is king of Israel. God tells Saul, Samuel the prophet, to tell Saul to go with his army and wipe out the Amalekites. They were an evil people. And God tells Samuel to tell Saul to wipe them out, leave nothing. And for sure, do not bring anything back. Saul goes with his army. He's on his way back. Saul goes out to meet him. Did you do what God said? And Saul says, absolutely. We did exactly what God said. And Samuel says, really? I hear the bleating of sheep back there. What's that? Well, we thought it best to bring some sheep to offer sacrifices to God. That sounds noble. That sounds good. But is that what God told him to do? Absolutely not. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Samuel replied to Saul, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination." That's witchcraft. Magic. "And arrogance like the evil of idolatry. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. Arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king." What was Saul's reward? "You're out. You're not king anymore. But I brought these lambs back and I thought God would be really happy if I offered some sacrifices." To obey is better than sacrifice. You see, to sacrifice without obedience, to go through the motions without a heart of trusting God, to go through the rituals without faith, without devotion to God, is mockery, is hypocrisy to God. That is worse than no sacrifice at all. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Turn to another prophet, Isaiah. Chapter 1. Listen to verse 11. "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. And when you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts?" I hope you get the idea. God is not very happy. Look at verse 15. "When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." When the sacrifice, when the keeping of the special days was not offered from a right heart, a right mind, a right spirit, even the symbol didn't work. They were temporary. But even if you didn't come with the right heart, they had lost all their symbolic value. They were just a form without content. Absolutely worthless. Instead of pleasing God, it's an abomination to God. What's an abomination? Something He hates. It made God sick. If you look again at verse 13 of Isaiah 1, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, Sabbaths, convocations, all your special days. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. Now, if you think about it, there's all kinds of examples for us. Going through the ritual. Meaningless. Worthless. I wonder, as I study this passage, if there's anything that I do that's an abomination to God, that makes Him sick. My service, my ministry, my offerings. If God looks down from heaven and says, stop it! There's no point. Your heart's not in it. It's not from a pure heart. You're substituting the symbol for the substance, the reality. Go to church. Well, God tells us to not neglect the assembly. We should go to church. I should serve God. I should give to God. I should pray. I should witness. I should be a good person. Yes! But from a pure heart. Giving God the glory. Have I begun to worship the symbol instead of the reality? Am I religious? Very ritualistic without any meaning? I love the song, The Old Rugged Cross. We sang it last week and everyone goes, yay! Why? Do we love the symbol? I just like that song. Or do we love the one who died on the old rugged cross? If I just pray the right prayers, if I just count beads as I'm doing that, is that just a form of magic? Do I love Christ? Or the forms? If it's just the form, the ritual, then 0 + 0 still equals 0. Magic. I've seen recently some chain letters that are sent by Christians. If you pass this chain letter on to 10 other Christians, you will be blessed. If you don't, watch out. You're going to be cursed. Christians, stay away from that garbage. That is a form of magic, of divination. I've seen letters to Christians. I've received many letters. Well, God says, David. Listen, if you say God says, it better be what God says, not what you want God to say. Well, if I just say God in it, magic, poof, God will do what I want. The form without the substance. You know, if I just get wrapped up in the form, I will wear myself out. And I'll wear God out. If my heart's not in it. But you and I know better than that, don't we? That's just those other people out there. What does God want? Your heart. What does God deserve? Your heart. And so see Him high and lifted up on His throne. Look to Him. Reflect Him. High King of Heaven, may He be my vision, my passion, my love. Úsame, Señor. Use me. May that be our prayer.